truly our own.
Blog Talk Radio.
When I pulled into my garage and thanked God for bringing me safely to my destination and back home, thanking God again for just being who he is, awesome and mighty. And this morning, our prayer coming out of our 365 days of prayer says, loving well. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you. So love one another. John 13:34 NASB. Glorious and gracious God, your love is dependable. It doesn't shift with the winds of the changing seasons. Your constant affection is the best thing I've ever known. I can't rightly compare it to anything else. It is better than the best love. When I consider how you require your children to love each other in the same way you do, I am speechless. Your love laid itself down over and over again, faithfully choosing the benefit of others over your own desires and whims. Lord, I realize how selfish I am when you put it into flesh and blood terms like that. Even so, help me, God. I want to be like you, which means I want to love like you. I am grateful that you don't require perfection, just a willing and humble heart. Your love covers a multitude of sins. So as I practice loving others, apart that process, humility, forgiveness, and quick repentance, keep me focused on your incredible kindness. When I want to give up and walk away, I know your way better. Heavenly Father God, as we come before you, Lord God, opening your mighty word, may the words that we speak be your words, God, not ours, but yours. But Lord, your speech is pure. Your words are pure. Lord God, we lift up this lesson today. As we go into Bible study, Lord God, may it add to someone's heart, mind, and spirit that they that do not know you will say, what must I do to be saved? Father God, we stand on your word, believing and trusting in it, that every word was given by your inspiration, Father God. And so, Father, as we go forth, we ask you to forgive us of any sins that we may have committed in thought, word, or deed. And Lord God, we ask that everything we speak come from our heart, filled with your love and your Holy Spirit. In the name of Jesus, Lord God, we ask you to increase as we decrease, Father. Let the words of our mouth and the meditations of our humble heart be acceptable in your holy and divine sight. For you, Lord God, are our strength, and you, Lord God, are our redeemer. And we as redeemed say so. I am redeemed by the blood of Jesus, and I ask you in his name, cover us from the crowns of our heads to the soles of our feet, that we will walk in righteousness, faith. In his name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Giving honor to the Most High God, who is the source of my strength and the strength of my life, I say good morning, family, and I pray you all had peaceful rest. As we go into this word this morning, the word of the Lord are pure words is our title. And I am excited. We got some wonderful words today. Mother Valerie, good morning. I pray all is well with you.
Amen. All is well. All is well with my soul.
Amen. Well, we are going to get into our word this morning. I will be coming out of Genesis chapter 45 through 46, verse 34. Mother Valerie will be coming in with the 12th Psalm, verses 1 through 8, which is also where our title comes from, verse number 6. She will also be coming out Proverbs chapter 4, verses 14 through 17, and Matthew chapter 15, verses 1 through 20. And it is, as we say, a great word this morning. Whew, it's a good word. That's all I can say. I'm all giddied up, y'all. Y'all know how I get. I get all giddied up for the word of God because I just get giddy for Jesus because he's just so good. So as I go forth, chapter 45 of the book of Genesis, then Joseph could not restrain himself before all those who stood by him, and he cried out, "May everyone go out from me." So no one stood with him while Joseph made himself known to his brothers. And he wept aloud, and the Egyptians in the house of Pharaoh heard it. Then Joseph said to his brothers, "I am Joseph. Does my father still live?" But his brothers could not answer him, for they were dismayed in his presence. And Joseph said to his brothers, "Please come near to me." So they came near. Then he said, "I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into Egypt. But now do not therefore be grieved or angry with yourselves because you sold me here. For God sent me before you to preserve life. For these 2 years, the famine has been in the land, and there are still 5 years to which there will be neither plowing nor harvesting. And God sent me before you to preserve a posterity for you in the earth. Save your lives by great deliverance. So now it was not you who sent me here, but God. And he has made me a father to Pharaoh and lord of all his house and a ruler throughout all the land of Egypt. Hurry and go up to my father and say to him, thus says your son Joseph, God has made me lord of all Egypt. Come down to me and do not tarry. You shall dwell in the land of Goshen, and you shall be near to me, you and your children, your children's children, your flock and your herds and all that you have. There I will provide for you, lest you and your household and all that you have come to poverty. But there are still 5 years of famine. And behold, your eyes and the eyes of my brother Benjamin see that it is my mouth that speaks to you. So you shall tell my father of all my glory in Egypt and of all that you have seen, and you shall hurry and bring my father down here. Then he fell on his brother Benjamin's neck and wept, and Benjamin wept on his neck. Moreover, he kissed all his brothers and wept over them, and after that, his brothers talked with him. Now the report of it was heard in Pharaoh's house, saying, Joseph's brothers have come to Pharaoh, and his servants well. And Pharaoh said to Joseph, say to your brothers, do this, load your animals and depart. Go to the land of Canaan. Bring your father and your household and come to me. I will give you the best of the land of Egypt, and you will eat the fat of the land. Now you are commanded, do this. Take carts out of the land of Egypt for your little ones and your wives. Bring your father and come. Also, do not be concerned about your goods, for the best of all the land of Egypt is yours. Then the sons of Israel did so, and Joseph gave them carts according to the command of Pharaoh, and he gave them provisions for the journey. He gave to all of them, to each man, changes of garments, but to Benjamin he gave 300 pieces of silver and 5 changes of garments. And he sent to his father these things, 10 donkeys loaded with the good things of Egypt. To the land of Canaan, to Jacob their father. And they told him, saying, Joseph is still alive, and he is governor of all the land of Egypt. And Jacob's heart stood still because he did not believe them. But when they told him all the words which Joseph had said to them, and when he saw the carts which Joseph had sent to carry him, the spirit of Jacob their father revived. Then Israel said, it is enough. Joseph, my son, is still alive. I will go and see him before I die. Chapter 46. So Israel took his journey with all that he had and came to Benjamin and offered sacrifices to the God of his father Isaac. Then God spoke to Israel in the visions of the night and said, Jacob, here I am. So he said, I am God, God of your father. Do not fear to go down to Egypt, for I will make great nation there. I will go down with you to Egypt. I will also surely bring you up again, and Joseph will put his hand on your eyes. And the word again, the words of the Lord are pure words. God said, I am God, the God of your father. Do not fear to go down to Egypt, for I will make you a great nation there, and I will go down with you to Egypt. I will also surely bring you up again, and Joseph will put his hand on your eyes. Then Jacob arose from Beersheba. The sons of Israel carried their father Jacob, their little ones, and their wives in the carts which Pharaoh had sent to carry him. So they took their livestock and their goods, which they had acquired in the land of Canaan, and went to Egypt. Jacob and all his descendants with him, his sons and his sons' sons, his daughters and his sons' daughters, and all his descendants he brought with him to Egypt. Now these were the names of the children of Israel, Jacob and his sons who went to Egypt. Reuben was Jacob's firstborn. The sons of Reuben were Hanok, Pulu, Hezron, and Carmi. The sons of Simeon were Jemuel, Jamin, Ohad, Jachin, Zohar, and Shaul, the son of a Canaanite woman. The sons of Levi were Goshen, Kohath, and Merari. The sons of Judah were Onan, Shelah, Perez, and Zerah. Both Onan died in the land of Canaan. The sons of Perez was Hezron and Jemuel, Hamuel. The sons of Issachar were Tola, Puva, Job, and Shimron. The sons of Zebulun were Sherith, Elon, and Jael. These were the sons of Leah, whom she bore to Jacob in Paddan Aram with his daughter Dinah. All the persons, his sons and his daughters, were 33. The sons of Gad were Zaphron, Haggai, Shani, Esbon, Eridai, and Arali. The sons of Asher were Jimnah, Asher, Ishu, Mira, and Shur, the sister and the sons of Berah, were Heba and Melchiel. These were the sons of Zilpah, whom Laban gave to Leah, his daughter. And these two bore to Jacob 10 virgins. The sons of Rachel, Jacob's wife, were Joseph and Benjamin. And to Joseph in the land of Egypt were born Manasseh and Ephraim, whom Asenath, daughter of Potiphar, priest of On, bore to him. The sons of Benjamin were Bela, Becher, Ashbel, Jira, Naaman, Ehi, Rosh, Mopium, and Eret. These were the sons of Rachel, who were born to Jacob, 14 persons in all. The son of Dan was Hashem. The son of Naphtali was Jezreel, Gunai, Jezer, and Shelon. These were the sons of Bihon, whom Laban gave to Rachel, his daughter, and she bore these two, Jacob, 7 persons in all. All the persons who went with Jacob to Egypt, who came from his body besides Jacob's sons' wives, were 66 persons in all. And the sons of Joseph who were born to him in Egypt were 2 persons. The sons of Jacob who went to Egypt were 70. Then he sent Judah before him to Joseph to point out before him the way to Goshen. And they came to the land of Goshen. So Joseph made ready his chariot and went up to Goshen to meet his father, Israel, and he presented himself to him and fell on his neck and wept on his neck a good while. And Israel said to Joseph, "Now let me die, since I have seen your face, because you are still alive." Then Joseph said to his brothers and to his father's household, "I will go up and tell Pharaoh and say to him, my brothers and those of my father's house who were in the land of Canaan have come to me, and the men are shepherds, for their occupation is then to feed livestock, and they have brought their flocks, their herds, and all that they have. So it shall be when Pharaoh calls you and says, what is your occupation? That you shall say your servant occupation has been with livestock from our youth even till now. Both we also are fathers. You may dwell in the land of Goshen, for every shepherd is an abomination to the Egyptians." So they did not like sheep. They were more into the camels and donkeys, but sheep were not part of the Egyptians. Probably even what they ate, they probably did eat a lot of lamb. So shepherds were not people that were high up on their radar as, but they wanted to hang out with it if the kids would stay today. But as we go into our life lessons from Genesis 45, 4 and 5, "Do not therefore be grieved or angry with yourselves because you sold me here, for God sent me before you to preserve life." Joseph didn't have time to be angry anymore. He understood that there were 5 more years of famine in the land, and he wanted his family to be safe. He wanted his family to prosper. He wanted his family with him, because you can imagine, since he was 17 years old, he has been without family, and he missed his family. And so everything fell into place, but it didn't happen overnight. It didn't happen in his 20s. Didn't happen in his 30s. Probably did not happen until his early 40s that he was able to see his father again. Blessed be the name of the Lord, who goes before us always. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. And as we go into a life question, why doesn't God answer my prayers sooner? You know, we all pray and we pray and we pray and we tell God, "Lord, I need this, I need that." Help me, God. Forgive me, God. God, what can I do for you, God? You know, we all have those prayers. God, watch over. God, bless. God, take care of. God, lift up. And God does not always answer. You know, when we pray for healing for a brother or a sister or someone we care about, we pray for healing. But understand, when you pray for complete healing may be death to this life. But then they have eternal life. So be careful how you pray. Because when you pray God's will may be to call his child home. His will is not always ours. Still believe that the word of God is sure. What God says he will do, he will do. Not be in my time. It may not be in your time, but it will always be God's time. And it says, if God hears our request and loves us so much that he sent his own son, Jesus Christ, to die for us, then why does it appear to take him so long to respond to some of our most urgent requests? Carefully consider the following 10 reasons the delay may be caused by. Number one, it's our disobedience. Our sin can prompt God to withhold his gracious hand. When we disobey his commands and refuse to repent, he sometimes stops his ears from hearing our request. Number two, our doubt. Without faith, no one who asks of God will receive that he see what he requests. James chapter 1, verses 5 through 8. And I got to read that again. Without faith, no one who asks of God will receive what he requests. But with faith, all things are possible. Mark 9 and 23. Our attempt manipulation. If we try to control or manipulate God, we should not expect answers to our prayers. 1 Samuel chapter 13, verses 9 through 14. He is the master. We are the servant. And a servant cannot tell his master what to do. Number four, wrong motivation. That's a biggie. Wrong motivation. Neither self-centered request nor those tinged with evil intent will receive an answer. James 4 and 3. God, with our lust or our schemes. You got folks praying for pastors to be their husband. Now, understanding that there is a first lady that he is married to. But you got folks that be lusting after their pastor. And a girl pastor's going to be my husband. Excuse me, he's got a wife. Well, she's not the right one for him. I know that I would be the perfect wife for a pastor. And that, you know, no, it's not the truth. That is not of God. And it's not happening. I don't care how much you pray. This adulterous thought, what a man thinketh, so is he. Adulterous thought. Folks lusting after pastors and wanting them, their wives, to just divorce her or let her die because that should be my position. You better shut up because you'll be in the grave before that first lady will be gone. Folks got to stop that kind of stuff. We got to be very, very careful. Your wrong motivation, you're not going to get that prayer answered. It is not of God. Our lack of responsibility. God cannot expect it to compensate for a lazy a negligent person, Proverbs 19 and 5. The Lord has his work to do. We have ours. I can't ask God to give me a clean house, ask God to give me a clean heart, unless I want to do the work myself. I got to want a clean heart and work and do everything I can to have that clean heart. If you want a clean house, you got to do the work. You can't ask God to just come in like a mighty wind and just, because if he does that, you will not have a house because he's going to sweep your house clean with you in it. That's where tornadoes come in. That's where bad weather comes in and houses are destroyed, fires, all kinds of stuff happens. You got to be careful how you pray. Because God cannot be expected to compensate for a lazy or negligent person. We got to do the work, too. The Lord has his work to do, and we have ours. An illegitimate need. Is this thing you want really a need, or is it something that you have illegitimately come to expect? Often we have bigger eyes than stomachs. Come on now. Lord, I want that Louis Vuitton purse. I want those Gucci shoes. Lord, I want that designer wardrobe. Lord, I want $1 million. Excuse me. What does all that stuff mean? Did you ask God, Lord, clean me up like with hyssop? Lord, give me a clean heart and put a right spirit within me. Lord, guide and lead me to walk in the calling that you have given me. Lord, guide me. Lord, lead me. Lord, show me the way. Are you just praying selfish prayers? And I tell you, God will give you the desires of your heart. But understand that if those desires are selfish, do something else. And it says that, and that's in Jeremiah 45:1-5, if you want to know the scripture. Rejecting God's method. Don't turn away a means of supply merely because it doesn't fit your expectations or criteria. Joshua 6. A man named Naaman almost made his mistake, and it would have cost him his health. Come on now, 2 Kings 5:8-14. You know, we have to be so careful how we pray, what we pray, God. And it goes on to tell us God's redirection. Sometimes God is in the process of redirecting us or preparing us for something new. Genesis 37:39-50. God loves to do fresh, exciting things with his people. Isaiah 43:19. God's desire to teach us. God wants to teach us. God may want us to focus on our spiritual and eternal needs so that we will learn to trust him in all things and for all things. Isaiah 48:18. Number 10, God desires to repentance. I say it again. God desires to bring us to repentance. God may want us to own up to our sin, confess it, and repent of it. Luke 15:11-31. And even when God delays his answers, he instructs us to keep on praying. God instructs us to keep on praying. God's word is pure. And if God tells you, keep on praying. We got to do that. But God wants us to repent. God may want to own up to God wants us to own up to our sins, confess them, and repent of them. And even when God delays his answers, he instructs us to keep on praying. Pray without ceasing. And that's what the word tells us. Prayer is life's greatest time saver. Even when it doesn't seem like it. Whatever, go to prayer. Even if you can't go into prayer. We have got to pray. Prayer changes things. Jesus prayed. And if Jesus prayed, why do we think we don't need to? So to go over those 10 again, why doesn't God answer my prayers sooner? Number one is our disobedience. Number two is our doubt. Number three, our attempts to manipulate God. Number four, wrong motivation. Number five, Number five, our lack of responsibility. We want God to do everything and we don't want to do anything. God, I need this, I need that. What are you doing? Are you working? Because the word of God says a man who does not work does not eat. So you're asking God to give you, give you, give you, but you don't do any work toward what you need. God wants us not to be lazy or negligent. He wants us to go to work. An illegitimate need. Lord, I need somebody else's husband because he looks rich from the outside. I need all the things that I see somebody else with that cover the spirit. Well, she drives a nice car. He drives a nice car. They have this, that, and the other. Lord, I want to have what they got. Not a God. An illegitimate need. Rejecting God's method. God, you taking too long. You know, I've been waiting 14 years. I've been waiting 15 years. I've been waiting 30 years. Lord, I've been waiting 65 years. You might wait longer than that. How long did Abraham and Sarah wait to have their beloved son? You think about that. Rejecting God's method. You know, God would chastise us. God would keep something nice and new from us until we get some things right. God's redirection. Maybe what you're asking for is not what God wants for you. He always has something better. Think about the son of Jacob. They wanted to kill Joseph. But Reuben and redirected and Judah said, let's sell him. Understand redirection. It was not meant for Joseph to die. And I read that one more time. Sometimes God is in the process of redirecting or preparing us for something new. God loves to do fresh, exciting things with his people. That young man not been sold into slavery. His family would have starved to death. And so would the Egyptians and many others. And it says, God desires to teach us. God will get us focused. God will show us the way. God will speak his pure words to us. All we have to do is be still and know that he is God. And number 10, God desires to repent. We've got to repent. We've got to ask for forgiveness. We've got to give it all to God. Whatever you're going through, know that God's got your back. He's got your front. He's got you from the crown of your head to the soles of your feet. Don't worry. Have faith. Don't fear. Have faith. Don't give up. Have faith. God's got you. Genesis 46:4, I will go down with you to Egypt, and I will also surely bring you up again. Israel found strength to do even a difficult thing once he heard God's promise. For God's word is an immovable anchor in times of storm. And that is what I have today. Again, keep God first. And know again, the words of the Lord are pure words. God loves you. And he wants the best for you. Your best may not be what God wants. He's going to want better than what you think. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Mother Valerie, I turn it over to you this morning.
Good morning, people of God. It's a beautiful, cold day. The temperature is 33. We still have ice on the ground, so be careful if you have to go out there. I'm reading Psalms 12:1-8. Help, Lord, for the godly man cease, for the faithful disappear from among the sons of men. They speak idle, every one with his neighbor, with flattering lips and the double heart they speak. May the Lord cut off all flattering lips, the tongue that speak proud things, who have said, with our tongue we will prevail, our lips are our own. Who is Lord over us? For the oppression of the poor, for the fine of the needy, now I will arise, says the Lord. I will set him in the safety for which he yearns. The word of the Lord are pure words. That's the title. Words of the Lord are pure words. Everything he speaks will come to pass. Like silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Psalms 12 and 6, the words of the Lord are pure words. God's word is not like any other book on earth. It expresses the heart and mind of the Lord and can be trusted beyond any shadow of doubt. It is an immovable anchor in times of storm. Psalms 12:5, I will set him in the safety for which he yearns. We all yearn for safety, to feel secure in our surroundings. Whenever events occur that make us feel unsafe and insecure, God urges us to ask him to intervene. He alone is both our safety and our security. And we should know that. We have to know that. God is our security. You shall keep them, O Lord. You shall preserve them from this generation forever. The wicked prowl on every side. With vileness is exalted among the sons of men. Proverbs 4, 14, and 17. Do not enter the path of the wicked. Do not walk in the way of evil. Avoid it. Do not travel on it. Turn away from it and pass on. For they do not sleep unless they have done evil. And their sleep is taken away unless they make someone fall. For they eat the bread of wickedness, drink the wine of violence. Do not enter the path of the wicked. Don't enter their path. Matthew 15, 1 and 20. Then the scribes and the Pharisees who were from Jerusalem came to Jesus, saying, why do your disciples transgress the traditions of the elders? For they do not wash their hands when they eat bread. He answered and said to them, why do you also transgress the commandments of God? Because of your tradition. For God commanded, saying, honor your father and your mother. And he who curses father or mother, let him be put to death. But you say, whoever says to his father or mother, whatever profit you might have received from me is a gift to God, then he need not honor his father or mother. Thus you have made the commandment of God of no effect by your tradition. Hypocrites! Well, did Isaiah prophesy about you, saying, these people draw near to me with their mouth, honor me with their lips, but the heart is far from me, and in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandment of men. When he had called the multitude to himself, he said to them, hear and understand. Not what goes into the mouth defiles a man, but what comes out of the mouth, this defiles a man. Then his disciples came and said to him, do you know that the Pharisees were offended when they heard this saying? And he answered and said, every plant which my heavenly Father has not planted will be uprooted. Let them alone. They are blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind leads the blind, both will fall into a ditch. Then Peter answered and said to him, explain this parable to us. So Jesus said, are you also still without understanding? Do you not yet understand that whatever enters the mouth goes into the stomach and is eliminated? For those things which proceed out of the mouth comes from the heart, and they devour man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornication, theft, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashed hands does not defile a man. Life lessons. Matthew 15:30. Why do you also transgress the commandments of God? Because of your tradition. we must beware of allowing religious customs and church rituals to take precedence over the clear word of God. Just because something has been done in a certain way for a long time doesn't mean it pleases God. Matthew 15:8. These people draw near to me with their mouth, honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Human beings have a natural fondness for prompt and ceremony, ritual, and there's nothing wrong with that unless it begins to replace a genuine connection to the living God. Our God, God wants our hearts. The word of the Lord are pure words. God wants our heart. He wants our heart. He don't want all of this, you know, like you think if you give a good offering. Obedience is better than sacrifice. God wants our heart. He wants us to be to obey him like little children because we are the children of the Most High God. God wants your heart. He wants to fellowship with you. He wants to laugh with you. He wants to talk with you. God is a good God all the time, and all the time he's good. God is truly a good God. And what a word. That was a beautiful word that we had for the day. And you know, I like Psalms 12:5. I will set him in the safety for which he yearns. Everybody wants to be safe when we get out there and we drive our cars. And we say a prayer before we start off, ministering angels of God, encamp all around about me. Let no hurt, harm, or danger come to me in any kind of way. Keep me safe. It says we all yearn for safety, to feel secure in our surroundings, in our homes. I'm saying that we want to feel safe at home when we lay our head down. Of course, you know, in this generation, you have to lock your doors. I remember as a girl when I was coming up, we used to sleep out on the yard, on the back porch. We did not lock the doors. We used to get up in the middle of the night, maybe 4 o'clock, and walk down to the restaurant. My parents had a restaurant. Walk down to the restaurant and eat. You try doing something like that in this day and age, sleep in your backyard. But when I was a girl, that's 80 years ago, that's what we did. We didn't think nothing of making a little, you know, like a little, put your pallet on the ground and sleep out there up under the stars. Try doing that today. Try leaving your door unlocked today. No, you can't do that in this day and age. Taking a walk at 4 o'clock in the morning. We did all that stuff and didn't feel fearful. Things have changed. And it said, I will set him in the safety for which he yearns. God urges us to ask him to intervene. He alone is both our safety and our security. God is our safety. God is our security. In him do we put our trust. Trust in the Lord. Lean not into your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he'll direct your path. Trust in the Lord. Trust God. And when you're fearful, ask God to intervene. I mean, he's right there. He's inside of you. Trust in the Lord. I'm going to turn this back over to Pastor Bridget.
Amen, amen. And I love the word, Mother, and even what Dr. Stanley says is God's word is not like any other book on earth. This basic instruction before leaving earth is not like any other book on this earth. It is a number one bestseller and always yes. will be as long as we keep putting his word out into the atmosphere. Every time we come together and we read the word of God, we are putting it in the atmosphere. You know, we are reaching out and putting it out there that someone may just be out there blogging and looking for something and a word would hit them. The word of the Lord is a pure word. And they like, what's that about? And they come in and they find the word of God because this is Bible study first and foremost. The goal of this blog and the goal of this show is to read the entire Bible from Genesis to Revelation every year until God says something different. And I say this because as Dr. Stanley also says, that it expresses the heart and mind of the Lord and can be trusted. God's word, his pure word, can be trusted. When Jacob was in his prayers and God came to him, he said, I am God, the God of your father. Do not fear to go down to Egypt, for I will make of you a great nation there. And he did. Think about this. 70 people went in, but in the Exodus, over a million went out. Because God made them great. And it tells us, he says, and the word it tells us, Dr. Stanley says, the Lord, he says, the mind of the Lord can be trusted beyond any shadow of doubt. It is an immovable anchor in times of storm. You can, you, when you on that boat and that water's got to shake it, you know, kids love to go on water rides. You know, we went to, had water rides. Over the church trip last year, it was to a water park, and the kids just loved it. To this barrel type thing, and then you, and this roller coaster ride takes you up, 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 and then you come down, flying, go in the water and come back out, and it's like wow, because you're inside of that barrel. Anchors in that you won't drown and you won't fall out. And you have to have faith that when you get on that ride, that you're going up, 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 and then you're coming down and up, you're not going to fall out. Faith. That when you go in that water tube and you come flying through that tube and hit the water, you're not going to drown. You got to have faith that God is with you always. And that you are his and he is yours and that he loves you. And that whatever God says, it's pure, it's true, and it will take you higher heights, deeper depths, because God loves us like that. And when we go into our hearts, our minds, and our spirit and our time with God, for those that are fasting over this course of this time and maybe fasting again coming up, that they will take time. Okay, God, I'm going to spend time with you in your word, for everything you say is pure, it's right, it's righteous, that you love me. The word of the Lord are pure. The word of the Lord are pure words, like silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. We got to understand that we trust in God's word. Put your trust in the Lord always and watch God guide you. Watch God lead you. We are special. And, you know, Mother, as I was reading, listening to you, and also I read what Jesus said, and, you know, we'll have more of what he said on tomorrow from Matthew chapter 15. You know, but the thing is that you have folks that want to sit in judgment. They don't do anything else but sit in judgment. You know, and that's what Jesus said. He said, these people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me, and in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrine the commandments of men. This is how you do this. You know, every Sunday you got songs and a poem, and the word is minute. You got churches that have an hour of praise and worship, 10 minutes of the word, and then it's time to go home. Of course, offering, then time to go home. The word should be the focal point of every service. Praise and worship is great. It takes us to the throne. It brings in Judah. But the word is that strong tower. The word is what changes lives and saves souls. The word of the Lord are pure words. And when we stand on the words
of God, everything else falls into place. Because Jesus had to tell these folks off. He said, he answered and said to them, why do you also transgress? Because they worrying about somebody washing their hands. And I have to admit, I have been that way. Oh, goodness, they eat and they didn't wash their hands. And, you know, and then the next thing comes, oh, that's just nasty. They know, they just, you know. And when you go to bathrooms and restaurants, and if you happen to come out and you see an apron on somebody, you better hope that they wash and they ain't. And you watch. Did they wash their hands? Or you come in with somebody, they in an apron, and you thinking they taking that apron and wearing it into the bathroom. So they took that off before they came in here. You know, your mind, you're judging. We have it. We all have a judging spirit. So we have to ask God to forgive us for that judging spirit, judging everything and all, everything and everybody. But again, what did they say in the Word of God? What does it say? That before we start looking at somebody's speck, we better get rid of that big old plank that we got in our own eye. But it's easy, and that's what they were doing. Why do your disciples transgress the traditions of the elders, for they do not wash their hands when they eat bread? Because you got to remember that in the time that they was out and about, they was in sandals, it was dusty, it was dirty. So you know they had to have some nasty hands. It was like, what goes in is going to come out nasty. But also what you bring out of your mouth can also come out nasty. Because you know when folks cuss and say things, and what's the first thing that comes in your mind, Mother? Well, they got a filthy mouth.
Amen.
What did Jesus say? What did Jesus say? When he said it, called the multitude of them, he said to them, hear and understand, not what goes into the mouth defiles a man, but what comes out of the mouth, this defiles a man. Watch what you say. Your words have power. That's why we sometimes need to keep our tongues behind our teeth. You don't have to tell somebody off. You don't have to give somebody a piece of your mind. Because I'm going to tell you, when you get old, you're going to need every bit of it. Don't let it, and your nerves, you're going to need them too. Because you need the nerves to move your hands and limbs. And when that pain comes to your hands from them nerves, you're like, whoa, need them anyway. You need the nerves in your body because they speak to each other. And God speaks to us. And we got to remember his words are pure. And we want to speak the pure words of God. Don't let what's coming out of your mouth be filthy. And as we go to a word from our sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn, the word for this morning is this. Once you stop adding up all your problems, to start counting all of your blessings. Come on now. Right on point. Terrific Tuesday. And I got to read it one more time. Once you stop adding up all your problems, it's a famine in this land. How we going to eat? How we going to get food? We got to go to Egypt. How we going to get money to pay for the food that we got to go to Egypt to get? That man over there is wanting us to bring our baby brother. What's we going to do? Because if we don't bring him back, it's going to kill our daddy. What we going to do? Because we know we did wrong to our brother, sold him into slavery. And then one of them say, but you know, we could have killed him, and we didn't do that. We sold him. So we got to thank God we didn't do that. We didn't kill our brother. And then, but we got to go back to that man. And we got to take Benjamin. It'll kill our dad if we go over there. Talking about all your problems. But then how God blesses you when you start counting your blessings. At least we can go to Egypt, Benjamin. At least we can pray that God will not allow the man to hurt him or us. And then as you count your blessing on your way to Egypt to get the food, you find out that the one that you sold into slavery is now the one that's giving you the food, the one that's going to bring you all. Promise of God. Your dad finds out from the voice of God that you will be a great nation, that you will be blessed in Egypt. Blessings. As the song used to say, count your blessings one by one. We got to count our blessings and thank God daily for each and every one. As you look at your mountain of clothes, you're like, Lord, where am I going to put them? Thank God that he gave you enough that you can give some away and that you can sell some, that you can do all kind of things. Because all things are possible through Christ who strengthens me. So what you may think is a burden may be somebody else's blessing. We got to remember that. What you may think is a burden may be somebody else's blessing. So count your blessings. Thank God daily that he woke you up because somebody didn't wake up this morning. All of you. And know that he loves you. And, Mother, that is all I got today.
Amen.
Just a reminder, the words of the Lord are pure words. And the one thing we know we can do is stand on the words of God. Believe it, trust it, and know it. It's not about all the rituals. It's about the word of God. And I say it every Sunday. Go to a Bible-believing, got Bible-teaching church. If a pastor cannot back up what they are saying in the Word of God, look it up yourself. Because so many times, wolves in sheep clothing will take a word out on that word, all out of context. And that's why we got to read it ourselves. Because when it's out of context, it'll be like fingers on a chalkboard going down your spine. You will know something is not right in what he's saying. Something is not right in what she's saying. Something is not right in what they're saying. Lord, show me what I need to do and go to the scripture. And if somebody gets up and never opens the word of God, don't even carry it to the pulpit. Don't even look in it. Don't have Bible study. Don't have anything to do with the Bible. One, get up and open all and say, I said shout. I start to shout. Shout for. You got to go to the Word of God. So we need to study to show ourselves approved. The Word of God tells us to meditate on it day and night. And that's what we do. And we pray today, may the Lord watch between me and thee while we're out and one from each other. In the precious and holy name of Christ Jesus, we pray over you and yours. Have a blessed day, family. No one pushed their one to speak, Mother Valerie. So we are wrapping it up. Be safe. Wherever you may be safe. And as Mother said, pray before you go anywhere. Pray when you get up. Pray before you go to bed. And in my case, there's times I'm praying in my sleep and wake myself up praying. We got to pray and we got to believe that the word of God are pure words and we stand on them. Have a blessed day, family. Mother Valerie, everybody that's listening, guess what?
It's a wrap.